This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
People ask me from time to time, how is it that you decide on which books of the Bible to preach through? I don't preach topical sermons. I don't preach message series like 5 Ways to Be Happy, 3 Ways to Be a Better Husband, 4 Ways to Get Better Gas Mileage. I don't do that kind of thing, those kind of sermon titles. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not my style. But I preach through books of the Bible. And I want to tell you, there's a reason why I'm preaching through the Gospel of Mark, because it's something that happened to me when I was traveling in the car listening to an NPR program, National Public Radio. The program was interviewing a professor of Bible from a university, and he said something that was totally false. And he said, now I'm an agnostic, I don't believe in the Bible, the authority of Scripture. And he said this in another quote that I pulled off the internet. He said, I believe when you die, you cease to exist like the mosquito you swatted on your arm yesterday. What a description. How sad. I believe that we cease to exist when we die. We're like the mosquito you swatted on your arm the other day. And here's what he said that actually angered me a little. He's talking about how the Gospels really don't portray the deity of Christ. And he said, take, for instance, the Gospel of Mark. He said, there's nothing in the Gospel of Mark to indicate that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And I said, wrong. I shouted out to the radio. Have you ever talked to the radio? I did that day. And I was so moved by that in a negative way, I said, the next book I'm preaching from is the Gospel of Mark. As we go through this, I want you to see the references to Jesus being declared. He's the Son of God. And today we're going to see that the declarer of the divinity or deity of Christ is none other than the demonic spirits themselves, who chapter 1 says they knew who Jesus was. They recognized him full well. We're in the Gospel of Mark, the 3rd chapter, going through this book of the New Testament, the shortest gospel. It starts at chapter 3, verse 1 today. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. They didn't have an answer. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians, that was a political group, how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. And listen to verse 11, because here's the declaration. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down. They fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Well, it's a dramatic beginning to this message from Mark, the 3rd chapter. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. You do know our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you may have missed. God bless you. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. And listen to verse 11, because here's the declaration. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down. They fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. He gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. What I'd like to do is to talk about the story today. We're in a series called What Jesus Did, He Does. What he did, he does. And today he's healer and deliverer. And we talk about a simple story, powerful story about a man coming into a synagogue with a shriveled hand. What was the medical problem? It's been described as disuse atrophy. Perhaps this man was a stonemason, is the speculation of some scholars, that maybe a rock or stone fell on his arm and crushed his arm, and so that his arm was withering away for simply not being used, and perhaps his arm hung at his side and he couldn't move it. And I think it's interesting that Jesus asks him to stretch out his arm when one doctor commenting on this said it may have been physically impossible for him to do that. So Luke says it was his right hand. And so this doctor speculated that maybe he took his left arm and he grabbed his own right arm and he lifted it up and held it in front of the crowd, this withered arm from disuse atrophy. And Jesus completely restored it. I want to do a little verse by verse and let it speak to you in a powerful way. Let's pick it up at verse 1 again. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. What was the big sin about healing on the Sabbath? You were not to do any work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the most sacred institution in the life of the Orthodox Jew. And in the chapter before, Jesus had the audacity to say about himself, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." That doesn't mean a big deal to us, but it was a big deal to them for him to say, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." You know, the institution that you consider the most sacred, the most holy thing of the being a Jew, I'm the Lord of that. He was claiming lordship of everything. He was claiming to be God. And I want you to notice in verse 2, it says, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. When you don't like somebody, you will always look for reasons or evidence to validate your opinion. Listen to that again. When you don't like somebody, and you've done it, I've done it, when you don't like somebody, you look for reasons so that you can say, "You know, I knew there was a reason I didn't like that guy. Now I've got my evidence." Well, I knew there was a reason I didn't like her. I don't know what it is about her, but there's something about her that bugs me. Now I've got my reason. And there were people that decided they hated Jesus. They didn't just dislike him. They hated him enough to kill him, to want to kill him, as we read in this chapter. And they were looking for evidence to use against him. Well, all this week, the third message in this series entitled What Jesus Did, He Does. It's one of my favorite series that I've ever preached. I hope you'll continue to listen. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you've missed, to listen to an old message that perhaps you'd like to hear again, or to find out how you can become a part of this radio ministry we call Cross Hope. God bless you. Now then, today we continue with part 3 of the message we began on Monday. It happens to be the third message in a series we call What Jesus Did, He Does, from the Gospel of Mark. More than any other of the four Gospels, Mark stresses, emphasizes, highlights what Jesus did more so than he does what Jesus taught. I need to know what Jesus did. Why? So I know what he can do in my life today. I want you to look at verse 4. Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent, which means they had no answer. They couldn't answer his question. He looked around them, and in anger, Jesus did have and manifest anger. It was always on behalf of the Father. I really believe that, on behalf of his heavenly Father. Deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." I want to talk about stubbornness for a minute. Do you remember the last time you saw a 2 or 3 year old child who was acting stubborn and you said, "Isn't he cute? Isn't she the cutest thing you've ever seen in her stubbornness? Just wait 12 years. 14 years. And that child you say is so cute won't be so cute when they say, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I don't care what you believe, Dad. I don't care what you believe, Mom. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then stubbornness all of a sudden loses its cuteness or its attraction. I want us to jump to verse 10. For he healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Jesus differentiated between disease and demonic possession. It wasn't a case of where I've got a cold, so I've got a demon. I hope you don't subscribe to that. I don't. I sure don't. You can't blame every illness or every demon or every problem. You know, well, I stubbed my toe. It must be a demon in the house. You know, you can't look for a demon behind every door. But let me tell you this. There's two extremes. C.S. Lewis said, that kind of attitude that blames everything on the demonic, or the opposite, said there is no demonic. And the truth is in the middle. The truth is in the middle. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. They had the awareness. Chapter 1, verse 34 says, they knew who Jesus was, the demons. I love that. They knew full well who Jesus was, what a lot of intellectual, educated men don't recognize Jesus for who he is. A lot of brilliant, educated, intellectual women don't recognize Jesus for who he is. And the demon said, we know who he is. We know full well who he is. Did they, that mean they accepted him as Lord? No, but they knew who he was. We know who you are. You are the Son of God. Part of what we do at Crossview Christian Church, I hope, is to introduce people to the Lord in such a way that they come to the place where they say, he is who he claimed to be. Jesus is the Son of God. And I've said this in one of the earlier services today, that Jesus is either everything he claimed to be or nothing. I don't subscribe to this idea that you can say, well, Jesus is 60% of what he claimed to be. Do you know what that makes him to say that? He's a liar. He's a liar if he's only 60% of what he claimed to be. He is everything that he claimed to be or nothing. What did he claim to be? Lord, he's the one who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live. He's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Those are quite exclusive, very specific claims, and so they're either true or they're not. Part of what we do at Crossview Christian Church, I hope, is to introduce people to the Lord in such a way that they come to the place where they say, he is who he claimed to be. And the greatest decision that a man makes, greatest decision a woman makes, is to say, I either believe that or I don't. I either accept it or I don't. Some of you remember reading H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. You saw a movie, perhaps. H.G. Wells wrote The Time Machine. You may have had to read those books in junior high or high school. I wish I could tell you that when H.G. Wells died, he died a believer, but he didn't. I understand that he died an atheist or agnostic. He died in unbelief. But there was a time in his life, and somebody told me at an earlier service, it happened around the time he wrote the book War of the Worlds, that he was a believer, because this quote I want to share with you, religion is the first thing and the last thing, and until a man has found God or has been found by God, he begins at no beginning. He works to no end. He may have friendships, he may have loyalties, he may have his scraps of honor, but all these things fall into place only with God. God is the end. God is the true meaning of life. God is the only king. God is the only king. I agree with H.G. Wells. There's no meaning in my life until you have the source of life. And so that you can leave this earth and say, I'm not just a mosquito and I cease to exist when I die. I go on living because Jesus said, if you believe in me, even though you're dead, you live. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 years ago, David Faust was a guest speaker here. David is the president of Cincinnati Christian University. David was asked to write an editorial for Easter Sunday a few years ago for the Cincinnati Inquirer. In his editorial about the resurrection, he tells the story that you're familiar with of Corrie ten Boom, who during World War II was in a prison camp known as Ravensbrück with her sister Betsy. They had hid Jews in their home in Holland, and they were sent to this concentration camp. Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy created this small Bible study group, for a lack of a better term, and they had a part of the Bible. They had some pages of a Bible, and they prayed together secretly. They read the Bible secretly, and they were known in Ravensbrück as the barracks where the crazy people live, the crazy people who have hope. What a statement. The crazy people who have hope. David Faust writes about that story, and then he says this, let me tell you who the crazy people are, who live and die with no hope. That's crazy. Who get up in the morning and say, when you die, it's over with. That's crazy. Who get up in the morning and say, if I die today, life's over and I cease to exist and it's all over, it's total annihilation and there's no more life. That's crazy. That is hopeless. We have not been called to hopelessness. We have been called to hope. Hope with a capital H that's based not in a philosophy or a concept, but hope that's based in a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to stake my life on that, not that I'm a mosquito who ceases to exist. I'm going to stake my life. I'm going to stake my death. I'm going to stake my eternity on the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, so that all my life I can be in the business of calling people to say what a demon said. You are the Son of God. I know who you are. You are the Son of God. Well, I find it fascinating that the first being to declare Jesus to be the Son of God in the Gospel of Mark is nothing else or less than a demon. Isn't that interesting? A demon said, I know who you are. You are the Son of God. Have you ever made this statement to the Lord privately? I know who you are. You are the Son of the living God, and I have accepted you as the Lord of my life. Crosshope.org is the name of our website, crosshope.org. God bless you. Well, today we conclude the third message in the series, What Jesus Did, He Does, from the Gospel of Mark. It's a passage of Scripture where the demons recognize who Jesus is. You say, what difference does that make? Interestingly enough, the declarers of the deity of Christ in this passage were the demons. They knew full well who Jesus was. So what I want to do today is read this passage, or part of the passage that we've been studying all week, from what's called the Message Translation or Message Paraphrase version by Eugene Peterson. Listen to it, and then we'll conclude with the conclusion of the message. God bless you. Then Jesus went back in the meeting place where he found a man with the crippled hand. The Pharisees had their eyes on Jesus to see if he would heal him, hoping to catch him in a Sabbath infraction. He said to the man with the crippled hand, "Stand here where we can see you." Then he spoke to the people. What kind of action suits the Sabbath best, doing good or doing evil? Helping people or leaving them helpless? No one said a word. He looked them in the eye, one after another, angry now, furious at their hard-nosed religion. He said to the man, "Hold out your hand." He held it out, and it was as good as new. And later on in the chapter, it says this, "Evil spirits, when they recognized Jesus, fell down and cried out, 'You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God.' But Jesus would have none of it. He shut them up, forbidding them to identify him in public." So that all my life I can be in the business of calling people to say what a demon said. You are the Son of God. I know who you are. You are the Son of God. And you know the Bible says this in Corinthians, that no man calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand that for years, even in the ministry. No man calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Here's how I take it to mean it, that the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your spirit or my spirit inside where we live, and he whispers, the stuff this guy sang from the platform, it's true. It's true stuff. Not because he said it, but because what he says is true. And the Holy Spirit of God confirms, speaks to your spirit. It's an inside job. I will never be able to convince any man to believe in Jesus Christ. I'll never be able to convince any woman to believe in Jesus Christ, but I'll tell you who can. The Holy Spirit can. Who speaks to our spirit and says three words to our spirit. Jesus is Lord. It's happened to many of you here today. many of you in the past, and it can happen today, to recognize the Lordship of Christ. Do what a demonic spirit did. He hit the ground when he saw Jesus possessing a person, and he hits the ground and say, "You are the Son of God." It's the most important recognition that you can make, or I can. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to us today through your word, and thank you for confirming to us how important it is to believe in Jesus. We're not calling people to a concept or a philosophy or even to a religion. We're calling people to life. Because John would say, here's the testimony. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. What could be simpler than that? So my prayer for every man, every woman, every young person that's come through these doors, these three services today, they'll be able to leave here saying, I know who he is. I recognize who he is. He's the Son of the living God. And what he did, he does. What he did, he does. Well, my friend, as we close, I ask you the same question. Who do you say that Jesus is? If Jesus is who he claimed to be, and only if he is, the most important thing in the universe is to know it. Our website, again, is crosshope.org.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.